I want to give you a little bit of a warning. The opening illustration here may not connect with everyone here, but just hang with me. We won't be with it very long. It was a couple of weeks ago that the National Football League conducted its annual player draft. And by that I mean teams took turns selecting amateur players for their rosters. And I know for many of you that's about as exciting as watching paint dry. But there's a spiritual point I want to bring up with this, okay? So hang with me for just a minute. Seth and I think it's more exciting than paint drying, okay? A whole lot more. In fact, we listen to it every year on the radio, if we can, if that works out. And we hear a phrase over and over again that I want to serve actually as the title of our lesson this morning. We'll hear this phrase when we're listening to the NFL draft. We will hear the phrase, on the clock. You see, every pick in this draft has to be made within a fixed period of time. A countdown clock is initiated. It starts whenever it's a team's turn to pick. Once that clock expires, they are out of time. Once that clock begins, it's their turn. That team is considered on the clock. After they pick, the clock resets. The next team is on the clock. I think you get the idea. Now, lest you think that this phrase is only used in the NFL, I want you to think again. Because the phrase on the clock is used in a variety of different settings. Some people use it of a taxi cab that has been hailed and is transporting someone from point A to point B. I try not to spend very much time in taxi cabs, but when you're in a taxi cab, you see that there's a meter there, and it's counting off the amount of time that has transpired, and you could say that that cab is on the clock. Or it's sometimes used of employees during working hours. A lot of hourly employees will talk about being on the clock. An employee may refuse to take a personal phone call because they're on the clock. What's that mean? Someone's paying them for their time, and it's not the person calling. Or sometimes a person is working and faces a deadline, and they'll use the phrase on the clock or up against the clock in reference to the time pressure brought to bear by the existence of that deadline. But in all of these cases, what I'm trying to emphasize here is that to be on the clock means to be involved in, engaged in a finite, limited amount of time. And I'm saying to us very simply this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that all of us are on the clock. We're on the clock in a number of different ways. Every day, we are slaves to time, aren't we? There are deadlines that demand our attention daily. Weekly, monthly. You kids probably won't mind me saying this because this is quickly coming to an end, but every week you have homework assignments. You're on the clock to get those done. Or we may have personal appointments, some of us. Or there are certainly monthly bills. And isn't it amazing? All of those service providers, they want to be paid and paid every month, don't they? Every month we are on the clock to get those things in the mail or pay them online, however we take care of that. There are deadlines further out in time that beckon our attention. We're on the clock with regard to sending kids off to college. We're on the clock with regard to year-end project deadlines at work. Then there are the even longer-term deadlines. We're on the clock. We're heading toward retirement age. All of us are most assuredly on the clock. In fact, it can be kind of stressful. I hope I haven't stressed you out this morning. It can be overwhelming at times. The collective sound, if you will, of all of these clocks can kind of drive us a little batty sometimes. But we need to think about this. We need to be careful with all of these clocks, all of these deadlines in our lives, because there are some other clocks counting down right now that we cannot afford to ignore. And I'm saying to us, I'm saying to myself, that we need to be concerned about that. There is a real possibility of failing to be mindful of these other clocks due to all of the other responsibilities that we face. God's Word appeals to us over and over again to be mindful of the clock, to be mindful of the time, in fact, to be making the most of our time, such as Ephesians 5 verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, therefore, be careful. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And notice what else it says. What does it mean to be wise versus unwise? Well, the wise person is going to make the most of their time because the days are evil. We're on the clock. And we're on the clock in some very important ways. And I'm saying to us this morning, in some eternally important ways. In our study this morning, we're going to consider three such ways in which we are on the clock. And I'm saying to us very simply, very plainly, we need to be mindful. We need to be making the most of the time left before the clock hits zero. That's our study for this morning. Let's begin first by considering that we are on the clock, ladies and gentlemen, to build faith in God. Solomon refers to this back in the book of Ecclesiastes, that great Old Testament book of wisdom, and the concluding chapter of that great book in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, he admonishes those of us who are young, and he says as follows in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember also your Creator when? In the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. We have a lot of young people here today, several here, some there, other places throughout the auditorium. I want you to listen to me, guys, very carefully, if you're younger. There is an ideal time, young men and women, to build a relationship with God, your Creator. To begin learning about Him, to begin growing in your confidence in His Word, to begin using it to shape and to guide and control your lives, to begin engaging in loyal service to God. I'm saying to you, especially this morning, guys, you're on the clock. The time is now. It's going to be a whole lot harder, much, much harder to begin trying to serve God when your body is old. When your body is broken down, riddled with arthritis, and you have a host of other health problems, those are the evil days Solomon speaks about. In fact, in the next several verses in Ecclesiastes 12, we're not going to take the time to read them, but he metaphorically describes the breakdown of the body. Young men and women, just go interview some of our members that are having health problems. Ask them about how it takes some of the joy out of life, and how it takes your energy, and how they so wish they had some of that energy back. And you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you what Solomon said. You're on the clock. Now's the time to begin building faith in God. But this point isn't just for the young. This point is for everyone in this auditorium. It's for anyone listening to this lesson online or on CD. All of us are on the clock. And I'm saying to us this morning, I'm asking us, are you building your faith in God? Are you investing time to grow in your knowledge of God, your knowledge of the Word of God, your knowledge of Jesus Christ? The Bible tells us to be building our faith. Let's look at some passages. The book of Jude, right before Revelation. Book of Jude, verse number 20. Jude, verse 20. Jude simply says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now that's written to Christians. It's an instruction for all of us. We need to be building ourselves up, building our faith up. How do we get that faith? By going to the source, the faith, which was once for all, verse 3, delivered to the saints. Colossians chapter 2, also in our New Testament. Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7. There we're instructed to be building our faith in Jesus Christ, building our faith in God. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writes, Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, how do we do that? Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And there's what Jesus said in John chapter 15 in verses 4 and 5. There He says, abide in Me. That's investment of time. That's relationship. Abide in Me and I in you. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in Me. In verse 7, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you. That's what we need to be doing. Please hear me carefully. All of us are going to have times in our life, if you haven't already, you will, when you are going to need strong faith in God to draw upon. Now, there are several of you to whom I don't need to say that, because you know exactly, you know better than I do, exactly what I'm talking about. Now, it may be something different for any of us. For some of you, it may be sitting in a college lecture hall, hearing a professor belittle and mock belief in Jesus Christ and belief in the Bible. You're going to need faith by then. If you wait until then to say, you know what, I need to think about having faith in God, you've waited too long. You haven't heeded the clock. Or even worse, you may suffer a tragic death in your own family. You may have a financial setback you did not see coming, despite your best efforts to plan. Or parents, you may have a crisis in the life of one of your kids. We can't afford to wait until those moments to begin building faith in God. We need to capitalize on the moments we have now. You want to know why we emphasize so much Bible classes at Woodland Hills? Which, by the way, ought to be just supplementary to what's taking place at home. It's because it's from the Bible that we gain the faith that we need to be pleasing to God and to live life, and most of all, to be ready for the assaults of the devil, which will come. Now's the time you need to be addressing your doubts, exploring the evidence. In fact, later on this year, we're going to have a class entitled Evidences for Faith. I hope, adults, that you'll come and be a part of that class on Wednesday night. Now's the time to be finding answers to your questions, reading about the works of God, about the zeal of God, meditating upon the gospel accounts, investing yourself in the Word of God. This is about so much more, ladies and gentlemen, than have I been baptized? Now listen, that's important. You won't ever hear me say otherwise. But this is a whole lot more, it's about much, much more than have I been baptized into Christ. This is about will I remain faithful? Will I remain loyal to the Lord in the hard moments? There was a preacher this morning that struggled with getting the right reading reference to the one reading this morning, but I'm going to chalk this up to providence. What Jeff read from John chapter 6 was right on point here. So let's go to that one first, and then let's go and read from Luke chapter 6, which we had on the slides. I apologize, Jeff, for the confusion. John chapter 6, this point drives home the fact that we're on the clock. Now's the time to be building our faith in God. John chapter 6. We're going to go with verses 46 through 49, just what he was given to read. John 6, verses 46 through 49. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes. That's our point. We need to be building faith in God, building faith in Jesus Christ, because the Lord said, he who believes has eternal life. And how is it that we build that faith? We go, verse 48, to the bread of life. To the one who feeds us what we need. And look at verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. We're on the clock. Now, Luke chapter 6, quickly. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Let's pick up that passage. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. What's your spiritual foundation? Yeah, I glanced your way because we want so much for you guys to be ready to defend your faith when you leave here. But I'm saying to all of us, what's your spiritual foundation? Jesus never said, I'm going to hold the rain back. I'm going to stay the floods. I'm going to stop the wind. Now, does he have the power to do that? Yes, he demonstrated it in the boat. But the fact is, the storm is going to come, the rain is going to fall, and the question is, when that time comes, will you have already done what the wise person did? Dug deep. While the sunshine was out and built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. All of us are on the clock to be building faith in God. Time is running out. Time's running out on my sermon too. Point number two. We're on the clock also, brothers and sisters, to work for God, to do God's work. The example of Jesus impresses us so much. I'm so impressed with the fact that in coming to earth, Jesus submitted himself willingly to the constraints of time. Will you let that sink in? He who created time submitted himself to it. It was never the Father's will for him to come and to spend 60, 70, or 80 years or more on the earth. If anyone understood they were on the clock to do the work of God, it was Jesus Christ. He had a limited time to engage in the works of service given to him by the Father. There was a time when the preaching was going to stop, the healing was going to stop, and he was going to go to the cross. In John 8, in fact, in verse number 20, we find John speaking of that coming suffering in terms that even the Savior himself would use in his own speech. In John 8, in verse 20, John writes these words, Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Do you see in that text that Jesus is on the clock? Jesus understood that. He recognized it, and he made the most of his time. He spent his time doing God's work. Go to the next chapter, John 9 and verse 4. Listen to what he says to his disciples. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. You know, for years and years and years, this is just an aside, there was an elder in our congregation growing up who would say that over and over again, reminding us that we're on the clock. He's now passed away. The night is coming when no one can work. We need to understand what Jesus understood. God gave Jesus work to do. God has given us work to do. And we're on the clock right now to be doing it. Not long ago on a Sunday night, we had an entire lesson from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Let's read that text again in passing. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I readily acknowledge that we're on the clock. We already talked about this. To accomplish so many things in this life. Many of them involve the meeting of earthly obligations to provide for present and future needs. The Bible, in fact, instructs us to be people that are concerned about future possibilities on earth. In fact, Proverbs 13 and verse 22, our memory verse this week, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Or Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The Bible says the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Or Proverbs 22:3, the prudent sees the evil and hides himself. What's that saying? Be prepared. Look ahead. Consider what you have to do. And I'm saying to us this morning, we're not serving God if we blow that off. We don't prepare for the possibilities of our earthly future, meet our earthly responsibilities. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, speaking of our responsibility to take care of aging parents, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But I'll tell you something God never does. God never instructs us to become so consumed with the fulfillment of earthly responsibilities, with the pursuit of earthly provisions, that we leave very little time and energy left over to seek kingdom responsibilities. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God demands first place. His work demands first place. And we're on the clock to do it. I want to say to us as a church, let me remind us, the clock is ticking. What we said last July from this pulpit rings true today. I believe we face a critical juncture in the history of this church. As we see our membership continuing to age, we need to be reminded this morning that we are on the clock. I believe we've done some good work together. God has blessed us, but we need to do even more of it. We need to continue to work together to shine the light of the gospel in this community, as Randy alluded to at the Lord's Supper this morning. Actually, in the taking up of the collection, he said those words. The song says there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, and that's absolutely true. There's plenty that needs to be done to teach and to edify and equip souls both outside and inside this family of believers. There are also things that we as individual Christians need to do in the way of service. As James says in James 1 and verse 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the word. We're, by the world rather. We're on the clock. We cannot afford to be like the people, say, of Haggai's time, who asks, is it time to rebuild the house of the Lord? The fact is they were spending all of their time on all of their earthly pursuits. And what God said to them, He says to people of all ages, consider your ways. We're on the clock. Time is running out. There's so much that could be said. So many other ways in which we're on the clock. We're on the clock in raising our kids. We're on the clock in mending personal relationships. But for our third point, what I want to do is talk about the one clock. The one clock that rules all of the others. The one clock that we need to heed more than all the others, and that is this. We're on the clock of life. To live our lives. This weekend, many people will memorialize those fallen dead who gave themselves to protect our freedoms, to ensure our way of life. That's something for which we need to be thankful. But may I remind all of us of something maybe too obvious to even need to mention, but one thing that all of those fallen dead have in common besides their common sacrifice, it is their current status. They're all dead. The clock ran out on every one of those people. Whether or not they had expected it to, whether or not they may have wanted it to, they may have wanted more time on the clock. I'm sure all of them did. But the clock hit zero. I don't need to tell you what a ruthless, brutal enemy death is. Death is no respecter of persons. But I'm going to tell you anyway, and I need you to hear me. Our earthly existence is like that special offer you'll see in the store. It's for a limited time only. Moses in Psalm 90 and verse 10 spoke of our lives as containing at best 70 or 80 years. Then our strength is gone and we fly away. James 4 and verse 14. I'm sure you've heard that one before. Our life is like a vapor, which appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And here's the kicker. This isn't like the NFL draft. And that's the last time I'll mention the NFL draft, okay? This isn't like the NFL draft. All of those teams know exactly how much time is left on the clock. Are you listening to me? We don't know how much time is left on this clock. We can't see it. We only know that it is heading towards zero. And once it ends, whether due to death or due to the Lord's coming back, we are out of time. Plain and simple. The clock will not be reset. No amount of worry can add more time onto the clock. In fact, Jesus said that exactly in Matthew 6 and verse 27. He says, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? That's a rhetorical question. There's not a one of us that can do that. In fact, if anything, worry will do what? It'll take time off the clock, won't it? It'll shorten our lives. The point ought to be evident. We need to be living our lives with urgency. In fact, we ought to view the uncertainty of life and our blindness to the amount of time left on the clock as a tremendous blessing. In fact, go to Psalm 90. We referred to verse number 10, but let's look at verse number 12 there for just a minute. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Verse 10 is what we alluded to earlier, where Moses says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Will you focus in with laser intensity on verse number 12? Would you read that with me? I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, so teach us to number our days. What's the instruction? Lord, help us understand that we are but finite beings headed toward eternity. Help us to understand, Lord, that there is a clock that is heading toward zero. And if we understand that, there is a blessing for us, and it's in this verse. Teach us to number your days so that what? So that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Have you ever thought about the fact that there is a blessing in having an uncertain amount of limited days? Having limited days is conducive to wise living if we allow it to impact us as it should. But the question is, are we doing that? Or are we sitting here hearing another sermon from God's Word, we're going to leave and change nothing about our lives? The psalmist says, teach us, Lord, to number our days. The clock is heading towards zero. And some of us, I fear, are not being careful with our time. It is appointed for man to die once, and after this, the judgment. Whether you choose to dwell on that or not, or allow that to be important to you right now or not, the fact is, it's coming. And God, through His Word, is trying to tell you now, be ready. So once again, we come to the conclusion of a sermon. And the offering of the invitation of Jesus Christ, where Jesus in Matthew 11 and verse 28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the clock is ticking on that offer. One day there will be no more invitations offered. In fact, I even thought about ending my sermon abruptly just to be dramatic. Maybe I should have done that. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, maybe you should have done that. But hear me, the day could be today for you when your clock runs out. Do you love God? Will you answer that right now? Do you love God? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe what we've talked about this morning? Do you believe His promise of eternal life, of salvation through Jesus Christ? Do you understand what you need to do to be right with God? If so, your faith in that needs to move you right now. You need to do something about it. You're on the clock to get right with God. Now's your time. While we stand and sing, make your life right with God. Come, please.